back on the record, it's 2:21 p.m., and Mr. Gillen is still on the stand. It is the purchasing agency's cross-examination of Mr. Gillen. Mr. Toft, you're a witness, and Mr. Gillen, you are still under oath.
Thank you. When we left off, I believe we were discussing Exhibit C, page 9, with the Food Establishment Inspection Report of November 5th, 2014. And this was a non-graded inspection, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And I believe before the break, we established that Public Health does provide non-graded inspections as a courtesy to point out violations so that they can be corrected. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The next thing I'd like to have you look at is the very next page after Exhibit C, page 10, is another non-graded inspection from January 20th, 2015. This one is also rated NA. And does that mean that that is a non-graded inspection?
That's correct.
Okay. So this was another courtesy given to Bed, obviously. Okay. And counting up, it looks like there are approximately, and I may be off by a few, but roughly 29 demerits on this page. But there's no rating given. Because of the non-graded, it's used for, again, for correctional purposes. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you know off the top of your head, if 29 demerits, would that be, what kind of rating would that
probably be a C.
Okay. And so for both of those non-graded inspections, that would be a C grade or below had they been graded at the time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And neither of those, it looks like with the line 26, have anything to do with the HACCP plan. It looks like it's circled not applicable. So those demerits weren't given for the HACCP plan. So under the terms of the contract, either one of those, had they been graded, could have been grounds for termination of the food contract with Basil. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I'm going to have you look at the next inspection, two pages later on Exhibit C, page 12. And this one, at the top of the rating, it looks like there's a D rating. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And a grade
of... Object to this exhibit on the basis that this was not part of the reason listed in the... letter terminating Basil for its termination.
As to the objection, Mr. Toft?
I think these are all parts of the reason for the... I mean, I already asked him the question at the very outset. Is the one HACCP...
Well, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Is this a basically a D rating for the appellant?
This is a D rating for the appellant. On this.
Okay. I'm going to overrule the objection. Please proceed.
Thank you. So with the grade of 68, that's the number of demerits on this report, is that correct?
Yes.
And on line 26, the HACCP plan is not part of this grade, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, so that's 68 demerits without any consideration of the HACCP plan whatsoever.
That's correct.
And on page 13, the observations and corrective actions, the top line of the report details that there was the reason for the inspection. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, Marie.
The second page of the report, Exhibit C, page
13.
Do you see where there is the observations and corrective actions?
Perhaps
yes.
It's the next page.
Yes.
Okay.
It's 2 of 6. Is that where we are? Number 13?
Yes.
2 of 6 at the top. Okay.
So in the observations and corrective actions, it says something regarding a screw found in a meal. Can you describe to us, did you have any knowledge of this incident?
No.
Okay.
Which number was that?
It's the first item.
The first item? Oh, okay, I see, yes.
Is that based off of an incident report that comes into public health?
Yeah, it's based on a complaint.
Okay, and does that sometimes trigger an inspection?
It would.
It would always?
It would.
Okay.
Also note on these items, subsequent items there, that they were struck through an initial, which meant what we can do, we have the option to do.
Oh, okay.
When we see things that can be corrected on the spot,
mm-hmm.
we go ahead and don't count those.
Okay. So the 68 demerits are the ones that could not be corrected on the spot?
Well, they would have had a 68 if we had gone through all of that. Actually, no, because in subsequent pages, they just couldn't correct it.
Okay.
Just following the pages.
And on page 18, Exhibit C, there's a notice of closure.
Right.
Was Basil Food Service closed due to that incident report, or due to that food establishment inspection
yes.
report? How were the seniors fed that day or the subsequent day? How was that affected by the closure?
I think what we did on those days was provide dry goods.
Okay.
A few days.
Okay. How did the community respond to that?
They were not happy with it. You had some mayor saying, I don't even want this stuff. I went out and bought something else for my seniors. I don't want them eating canned tuna and biscuitu and things like that. But, there is a provision usually under, exigent circumstances like storms or inability to get things in, but it's meant to be a short term. And I believe that, once I think it was maybe 2 days of this, or maybe up to three, and corrected a lot of the violations.
Okay. And then to bring your attention again back to Exhibit C, page 20, this is that March 11th letter that had the 45 days requirement to submit the HACCP plan. But this lists the number of inspections and the scores and the grades associated with it. And pertaining to that last report, that February 4th inspection, as a D grade, that would also be grounds for terminating the contract.
Yes.
But Public Health did not terminate the contract at that point with Basil.
As far as I know, we did not.
Okay. Let me skip ahead a bit to June 15th. Let me give you the page number here.
While you're doing that, I just have one quick question. Mr. Gillen, now I think you stated at least three times since the start of your testimony this afternoon that, it's definite, this is a graded inspection, that you could have terminated the contract. Was that fact conveyed to Basil Foods, to the best of your recollection?
I'm actually getting to that in one moment. Future questions.
Okay, no, very well.
Okay, if that would save some time.
I'll withdraw that and I'll
all right.
let you go forward.
I'll
go ahead.
If I can skip to Exhibit C, page 57 now. This is the June 15th, 2015 inspection.
What page are you on?
Page 57 of Exhibit C. Are you there? Are you on that page? Okay. And the grade on that inspection report is a C, is that correct?
That's correct.
And based on that rating, Department of Public Health could also terminate the contract after that inspection, is that correct?
That is in the contract language, yes.
Okay. we get to the July 9th report, and we're going to skip down to Exhibit C, page 145. Now, on this inspection report, this was a D rating, is that correct?
Yes.
And based on this report, the Basil Food Establishment was given a notice of closure, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And this is what prompted the emergency procurement after this closing?
First time, yeah.
Okay. And this one involved a downgrade for the conformance with HACCP plan, is that correct?
That's correct.
On line 26. And you should see page 152, there's a letter of termination for noncompliance with section 12.9. However, that particular termination gave the Basil 10 days to cure. Is that correct?
Yes.
Was there any discussion between you and GSA as far as the 10-day requirement given for them to fix what was going on with their facility?
I'm not sure.
Skipping to page 154 now.
Wait, can I come back to this one here?
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware of this notice because of the relationship and the handling? Mr. Gillum, were you aware of this, GSA had issued this letter of termination? Were you aware of this? Did this go back to Exhibit C 152? In other words, because you had said earlier that GSA did not consult you when they hired the vendor.
Correct.
Okay. So my question again is just to understand, you know, when do you get notification? When or when do you not get notification? So did GSA notify you that they were planning to terminate, to issue this notice of termination to Basil? Did you get notified prior or after the letter was issued?
That's hard to say. You know, because again, we have to understand the process. They send back to us all of the specifications that were developed between us and the Attorney General's office to make sure everything is in conformance. We sign off that all of those specifications are met. We don't see the price until after it's awarded.
I agree.
Okay. So in this case, I am sure that we had notified GSA that they were going to have their permit removed. Because it's the only way to trigger, you know, a
termination.
So this is a formality. The letter from Claudia is a formality that we did.
With your full knowledge and concurrence. Yes, ma'am. With your full knowledge and concurrence.
Well, I don't know if I have even an option to concur. It's just that we say that, you know, they don't no longer have a sanitary permit. Okay, they can't operate.
What do you mean you don't think you have the option to concur? Because I think that's, you know, as the prime agent to ensure that this program goes through, don't you have some authority to say, no, I don't want you to terminate and enter into discussion with GSA? Or is it at the sole discretion of GSA that they can terminate when they feel it's ready to terminate?
I think that after all of this, it got to the point where we said,
they cannot continue. They no longer have a sanitary permit. They can't continue to be providing food to this population.
But I heard you say earlier...
They don't ask me...
But I heard you say earlier that you have the ability to waive or an inspection report. Didn't you say that?
No, we have the ability to do courtesy inspections. We point out the problems. We do not want vendors to fail.
Correct.
Okay, so we do everything we can, okay, to make sure that doesn't happen. When at any point in time, we probably could have done this earlier, but we were hoping that, you know, they would eventually comply. But when you wind up with, you know, with consistently low grades, it doesn't seem to us that there's a real intent. So the only way to deal with this is to tell GSA these people are not complying with the contract. Okay? They no longer have a sanitary permit. They can no longer provide meals to this susceptible population. GSA, in turn, either agrees or disagrees. In this case, they agree. They don't ask us, do you concur? Because they're basically the ones who say, this is the vendor we have selected. But there are these conditions where, you know, even in the contract it says, even a C may result in a termination.
May. That's the operative word, may.
C.
May.
Okay, may. Okay. But when you get into a D, and when you're getting to repeated failure to comply with the HACCP, the operational part, where you've got meat, where you've got poultry at room temperature that's going to be prepared to be cooked, you know, you can't, you know, when you have people who are preparing the food and not washing their hands, when you have somebody who is there who is supposed to be the HACCP point person who makes sure all of this process, this operation is correct.
Let me rephrase my question.
Okay.
C is a may. Is D no discretion? When does the director have discretion over this matter? Is there any room for discretion? That's the question.
I would say with a D, no.
Of a D, no. D is fatal.
D when it's an official inspection. D when it's a courtesy to try to get them to make some changes. That's probably what you could consider discretion. Okay, but repeated failure to comply. You finally get to a D, you remove the permit, they can no longer provide food service.
Has Basil been forewarned of this? Is fully aware that once, you know, that D can be and may and is fatal?
I would hope so.
You would hope so.
I don't know any other way to, you know, to try to explain it to them.
Okay. So just again to ensure I understand, this notice of termination was issued with your full knowledge.
Yes.
And you did not object. Thank you.
If I could have you turn now to Exhibit C, page 168. This is the letter where you rescinded the notice of violation with intent to revoke to Basil. Are you at that page now?
What page was that again?
168.
Of Exhibit C?
Yes. Okay, now you issued this shortly after Basil was reinstated after the emergency procurement, is that correct?
That's correct.
And at the bottom of this page, it looks like there is a warning to Basil stating that I'm down at the very last paragraph, that they must be in compliance, and it states the section 12.9 of the special terms and conditions, is that correct? Special term 12.9, is that the the provision that provides that the facility must, that if there's a C rating or below, that it could result in closure at the discretion of the director.
I don't have the contract too, but I think so.
And it states in the very next line that non-compliance with the regulatory authority may result in termination of your contract. Is that correct?
That's right.
And even on the next page, page 169, that the department will continue to seek and effectuate all available resources and options, including the exercising the department's authority to terminate the existing contract with Basil Food Services if and when necessary. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Skip ahead to Exhibit C, page 181. This is a letter from Public Health to Mr. Zhao. Regarding the complaints that were filed with Public Health. Were you aware of the listing of the complaints that had been filed up until this point?
I wasn't copied on that.
Okay. I know you may not have been copied on it, but were you aware of the
yes.
complaints regarding the Basil contract? And prior to the issuance of this in August, it looks like on the table on page 182 that there were six different incidents regarding the complaints regarding the meals.
Same objection that this is not related to the reasons that Basil was terminated according to their termination letter issued by GSA.
Responsive objection, Mr. Todd?
Same response as always. I'm establishing the many, many lists of reasons that Public Health had to terminate the contract.
Is this one of the reasons or not?
Yes, this is one of the reasons.
It's not a reason listed on the termination letter. And so none of that information was transmitted to GSA, and it's not relevant for these proceedings.
Well, he is establishing the background. It is relevant to the extent of background fact that may have influenced the decision for Department of Public Health and Social Services to terminate. On that ground, I'm going to overrule your objection. However, Ms. Iriarte, that is an interesting point you bring up. You can raise that in your closing argument. Okay, please proceed.
Let me just skip ahead then to Exhibit C, page 215.
215 or
215? 215. This is another food establishment inspection report. This is dated, I'm sorry, I might be ahead, too far ahead. One moment. I think I missed one in here. Let me take it back, walk it back a little bit. 208, I apologize.
Page 208 of Exhibit C?
208 of Exhibit C.
Okay, please proceed.
This is a food establishment inspector report dated October 28th, 2015. Do you have it in front of you now?
Okay. Yes.
Can you tell me what the rating was and the number of demerits?
Merits, rating C.
So based off of this food inspection report and the grade given, this would have also been grounds for Department of Public Health to terminate the contract, is that correct? Okay. But Public Health did not terminate the contract at this time, is that correct?
Notice though again that they were out of compliance with the HACCP.
I do notice that. Let me skip ahead again to page 215 of Exhibit C. And this is a food establishment inspection report dated February 23rd, 2016.
So which document?
Exhibit C, page 215. Mm-hmm. is another food establishment inspector award, is that correct?
Correct.
And can you read off the rating and the number of demerits in this one?
40 demerits, rating was C.
And 40 demerits, how many demerits does it take to get a D rating?
Get a D?
Yes.
50 or above, I believe 55.
Just for my clarification, Mr. Gillen, if they get a D rating, you have to close the establishment?
Yes.
Thank you.
So based on the C rating from this inspection report, you could have terminated the contract back in February of this year, is that correct? But you did not choose to do so at that time?
No. The contract uses that permissive may.
Okay.
Just to clarify again, C is permissive, whereas D is...
We have no choice.
If I can...
Thank you.
Do elucidation questions on that. So for the D rating, it's not that you have to, you're forced to terminate the contract, it's that the facility needs to close, is that correct? Okay. Until such time that it reopens or is given up.
And if all what happens, we can suspend or take the permit away.
Okay.
And we've seen several occasions where it was suspended, they cleaned up the facility, we came back and they went from a D to an A. And then in subsequent inspections, we're back. And again, almost all of it was non-conformance with the HACCP plan. And if you take the time, and I know this is a lot of information, but you look at what we're looking at here. We're looking at temperatures of food that is thawing, temperatures of food that was cooked and then left, food that was being prepared with people not washing their hands. You know, so these things, you know, are just kind of important. So, you know, and we have done, I think, when you go through it, this is several pages of these kind of things that are concerning. But again, it has been our position that is we don't want to be in the business of closing people. We want to be in the business of educating, getting them to understand why it's important, especially with the populations that we're serving. Sorry to preach, but...
That's okay. If I could draw your attention to Exhibit C, page 222. This appears to be a letter from you to Mr. Zhao, which is another warning. Are you at that page?
Yes.
So on this page, it looks like you're detailing the results of the previous inspection and the violations that were incurred. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And on the towards the end of it, on page 223, it states, if your facility continues to operate in the manner that this department has witnessed and documented during our inspections, it will leave us no alternative but to pursue administrative action against Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation, which will undo the suspension of its sanitary. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now welcome to Exhibit C, page 241. This is another food establishment inspection report dated May 31st, 2016. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And can you say what the grade and the rating is for that report?
It's 45. The rating is D.
And for the, on the next page, 242, in the observations and corrective actions.
Just to interject. So earlier you stated that a D rating was 55 and above. Is that correct? Here they got a.
If I can interject, depends.
Here, they got a 45 and they got a D.
It depends on which item is being looked at. If they're out of compliance with certain items, they have more weight.
That statutorily, it's actually 41 and above, but I was going to get to that with another witness.
Yeah, but I'm not an inspector.
Okay, so, but off the top of your head, when you said it's 55 and above, I know that you were testifying based on your memory. How sure are you about that that number?
45. You know, I mean, to me, it doesn't.
I mean, are you?
It's counting numbers, but what I'm counting is how you handle the food.
Right, he's just asking, are you certain off the top of your head?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All right. Please proceed.
Thank you. So on the page 242 in the observations and corrective actions, it states that this was an inspection with regards to complaint. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us what the complaint was?
It's part of the quarterly inspection and response to a complaint regarding a small dead black bug found on top of a vegetable in the tree. So they went in and watched again the process, the operation.
Okay. Going back one page, line 26.
Okay, before you get, you know, these complaints, I know you talked about an earlier complaint about a screw, I think, in food, mm-hmm. and then this is a bug on a tray. Who is it, the end user, the end recipient of the meal, who originates these complaints, or are they coming someplace else?
No, they're usually coming from the consumer.
So the actual person receiving the food said, yes. Hey, you know, this day I found a bug in my food, I found a screw in my food. Right. Okay, thank you.
And following up on that, and so when you do hear a complaint like that, this I would assume would normally happen at a senior center.
Sure.
Yeah, and usually you do have people there. Wouldn't it be incumbent upon whoever is managing there in today's cell phone environment, right, to document, you know, an allegation now, well, by taking a picture?
Those were actually submitted with the exhibits.
Okay.
There are pictures in the exhibits.
Okay. Thank you. And going back, so normally when you do hear a complaint, this will usually trigger an on-the-spot or a surprise inspection.
Yes.
Okay. Because earlier you said, let me ask this question. How often are the inspections done as a matter of course?
Not as much as we would like.
Okay.
Just because of staffing limitations. But we always respond to complaints. Okay. Now, you know, the thing about a screw, okay, that might have been a faulty piece of machinery, okay, so we go in and check that. But while we're there, we're looking at the operation, and then we find all these other things. The same thing with the bug. I mean, I don't think there's any one of us who hasn't been to a restaurant somewhere and found something in their food, okay, and if you had made a complaint to us, we would have gone and inspected it. But these, you know, when you go in, occasion of saying, oh, well, there was a bug in the food, but then we don't watch the operation and you see pages of just non-conformance with the ASTEP.
So going back, and are these inspections normally a surprise? You just walk in?
We just go in and say we had a complaint about.
Yes, you would tell, in this case, Basil, that you had a complaint about it and you would show them the
just walk in.
And just walk in. And yeah. So you would normally conduct as I would suspect, surprise inspections.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And just to repeat, complaints would trigger an inspection, but if there are no complaints for a while. You would conduct, quote, regular inspections, but due to limited resources, sometimes you're not able to.
I think, again, if we found a vendor with repeat violations, they would probably get more attention. And a matter of fact, a mid to some of these places that have a placard that has an A, if you look at the date, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have enough people to get, you know, so that's why we're forced to respond to complaints.
Thank you.
If I could draw your attention on page 241, the front page of that food establishment inspection report. In the very small line next to the risk category, it says the number of repeat risk factor intervention violations, and it has a zero next to that. Now that, I've seen on other food reports where it has a number next to it, does that refer to the kind of sequential violations that incur an increased penalty?
It could.
Okay.
Depending upon how severe.
So with the zero repeat risk factor numbers here, that means that none of these were counted double against the demerit score. And as a result of the 45 demerits here, the D rating was given and the facility was closed, is that correct?
Yes. Permanent suspension.
And based upon this final D inspection report, the decision was made to terminate the contract with Basil?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us how that determination was made?
Well, this was the second time we informed the GSA that you know, this happened more than once. And GSA concurred that because of the potential hazard to the population that's being served, that they were going to terminate the contract.
Say that again on the last part.
Based upon a repeat suspension or withdrawal of the permit, notify GSA. GSA decided that they would terminate the contract.
So it was GSA's decision to terminate, not public health's decision to terminate.
No, but again, as we say,
Did public health, did you as the director tell or suggest to GSA that this contract be terminated?
No.
So GSA on their own, without consultation to you, that they decided it is best to terminate? That's my question.
Their decision to terminate is their decision.
Is there?
Based upon the information that we gave them.
You gave them information, and they on their own, without consultation to you, knowing that the services would be determined, you know, and you would have to go through emergency procurement, okay? Knowing that all this would follow, GSA did not inform you to discuss with you this very grave matter. Should we terminate this contract or not? Were you surprised that GSA terminated the contract?
No.
Okay. But did you want this contract, looking now, did you want this contract to be terminated and to be outsourced?
Yes.
You did. So even though the GSA did not discuss this with you, you were fine with it?
Yes.
And you've discussed the previous violations in the past with GSA. Okay. Were they aware of the situation and your feelings about the contracts?
Yes.
Okay. What was the sense throughout all of this that you got from Basil Food Corporation with regards to their attitude to compliance with the food regulations in your dealings?
In my opinion, they were not interested in complying.
I have one question on that note, Mr. Gillen. at any time, I mean, did you, other than sending letters, did you personally communicate with any people from Basel?
Well, you have some letters that
I mean, face to face?
No.
No, did you phone them?
No.
Was there, to your knowledge, a language problem between any personnel from Basel and personnel from the Department of Public Health and Social Services?
I'm sure that that's what they're going to tell you. No. That I know of.
That you know of. Okay, thank you.
I have no further questions.
Ms. Tang, your witness for cross-examination.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Gillen. Under the terms of the Basel GSA contract, the original contract that was let in 2014, the ITV and the contract requires Basel to comply with one laws, correct?
That's correct.
And that also includes the food code.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And sanitary permit is required for facility to serve food.
Yes, ma'am.
And specifically for this procurement, because of the, it is certainly a highly susceptible population, the HACCP plan is required, at least when it became when it was implemented.
Yes.
And do you recall if it was approximately November 2014 when it came, it was implemented, or was adopted, I think, officially adopted?
I think another witness came.
Okay, you're not
specific
sure. All right, that's fine. But during the term of Basel's contract, contract with the GSA, it was required to get a HACCP plan.
Yes.
And I'm going to take you to I think you spread that. This morning you testified about, and just recently, numerous violations based on, as documented in the inspection reports. In Exhibit C of...
You need to answer yes or no, Mr. Gillen.
I'm sorry, let me finish.
Okay, well, he's nodding his head, so...
Sorry. In Exhibit C of the joint exhibit.
Yes.
And in addition to that, there were correspondence regarding the inability of Basel to develop and get a HACCP approved by... And so I'm gonna like to show you something.
Is this a marked exhibit?
Not yet. No. Let me get popcorn. Demonstrative aid?
Well, let's give it a name first so we
okay,
know what we're talking
so,
about on the record. What was your last exhibit?
You know, we didn't, Basel, I mean, we submitted joint exhibits between
okay,
agency.
I,
so do you want it to
you
be
had small letters in the alphabet or was it?
They're just regular alphabet. There's no
this would potentially be G in the.
Yeah, so if you want to call these.
Okay, so
exhibits?
We're just going to call this Exhibit
G.
G for identification at
purposes.
This time. This is not part of the record, to my knowledge. Is
no.
that right?
No,
okay,
that's
so something you generate. Okay, I'll let you proceed. Lana Foundation for Exhibit G.
Okay.
Can I just object? Because if it's based just on what is in Exhibit C, that is an incomplete record of all of Basel's inspections. In fact, they had several inspections that had A's. So to a certain extent, this is...
I'm going to overrule your objection. She hasn't even laid a found... I don't even know what this is. I'll just put it to you that way. So I just... I'm just calling it Exhibit G so we all know what we're talking about right now. But you, instead of overruling it, I'm just going to reserve on your objection. I'm going to allow Ms. Tang to lay a foundation. You can object after that if you find it's deficient. Please proceed, Ms. Tang.
All right, so let me just explain what this is so you understand. Actually, I prepared this over lunchtime, and what I did is I took Exhibit C. So you see the exhibit column, exhibit, and corresponding page. So C6 is Exhibit C, page 6. And I tried to put together a chronology of inspection reports and notices of violation based on our Exhibit C. All right, this is not the entire procurement record, and the purpose is we heard a lot of testimony, and I find chronology is helpful. This is demonstrative aid. It's not evidence. It's not being offered as evidence. And certainly Ms. Ariarte and her client is also can also submit their own chronology if that's what they want to do. If there are incorrect dates, I'm happy to correct them. But as I said, I try to prepare this quickly over lunch. I think it's helpful for everybody to get a timeline. Because I was frankly getting lost. So it's demonstrative aid. It is not intended to be taken as evidence.
But it's all limited to the
Exhibit C.
How many pages are in Exhibit C?
Exhibit C ends at page 268.
So it's about 268 pages?
Right.
Okay. So as to your objection, Ms. Ariarte?
Yes. Well, I have a problem calling it a chronology because it's an incomplete set of facts as to what happened, including inspections of Basil. Basil had several A inspections. Those are not on this chronology. So I have a problem calling this a chronology and having it admitted into evidence as a chronology of what happened.
If I may respond, I'm happy to call it a summary of Exhibit C. So I'm not trying to make, this is not evidence. Again, this is demonstrative aid. We're not offering it into evidence. This is not to be taken as evidence. It's a summary.
Okay, I'm going to strike. I'm going to sustain your objection in part, Ms. Ariarte. We're going to strike the very first page of Exhibit G, where it says chronology of inspection report, such and such. We're going to strike that language. And I'm going to allow, you can ask for its entry after.
Right, and if there are missing reports, I'm happy to incorporate them. Now I just took them off Exhibit C to extend that.
Okay, but it's not admitted, and
not
the rest
evidence.
Of the objection, for the record, Ms. Ariarte, I'm going to overrule. You may use Exhibit G as a summary.
Thank you.
Of Exhibit C. Please
All right.
proceed.
All right, thank you. Mr. Gill, one more point, Mr. There is chronology on page 2, so you probably want to strike
that. And I will strike that as well.
Okay,
so please proceed. And
right.
It's not entered into evidence yet. You're going to have to make that motion at the end of the witness testifying. Please proceed.
Okay. Mr. Gillen, so focusing on page 1 of Exhibit G, I'd like you to look at Exhibit C20, page 20. We're going to go to document page 20. So this, I think you testified earlier, March 11, 2015, was when Basil was first notified of the need to submit a certified HACC plan, correct?
Yes.
Right. And pursuant to the terms of this letter, they had 45 days to submit it.
Correct.
Right. Now, going to page 30, we're focusing on the HACCP plan. Page 30 is the same exhibit. It's a March 26th letter to all sanitary permit holders, notifying them that 60 days to submit the HACCP plan. You see that?
Yes.
And I think you testified that is your recollection that these were not just sent to one, but other elementary school cafeterias, food establishments, serving highly susceptible population, correct?
That's correct.
And your recollection is that you believe that Basil received a copy of this?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'd like to go to exhibit page C32, page 32. This is an April 24th letter to you. You see that?
Yes.
And in this letter, Basil's asking you, or you and the public health, for an extension of time. And this letter is referring to the March 11, 2015 letter, which was marked as C20, right? The earlier letter. So it took them more than a month to respond to your March 11th letter, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, let's go to exhibit C34. And C34 is an inspection report conducted on April 27, 2015, correct?
Yes.
And I direct you to second page of this report, which is marked as C35. And you see the under observations and corrective actions, the second item noted number 26 states no HAA HACCP plan provided. The note, establishment received notification of HACCP plan requirement on April 3rd, 2015 and have 60 days until June 3rd, 2015 to comply. You see that?
Yes.
So, do you agree that on April 27, 2015, during inspection, Basil confirmed it received an earlier HACCP notification? And I'm going to, I believe that would be exhibit C30, the March 26, 2015 letter that was sent to all sanitary permit holders?
Yes.
Except in here, in this note, it says they received it on April 3rd, correct?
Yes.
They confirmed it to your inspector. Is that what it says?
Yes.
And that Basil was given 60 days from April, well, roughly, I haven't counted whether it's 30 or 31 days, but roughly 2 months from April 3rd, 2015 to comply.
That's correct.
In addition to the earlier 21 days that was given under the March 11th letter.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to exhibit C55. Okay, this is an inspection report dated June 4, 2015. See
yes.
that?
Yes.
Okay. And I ask you to go to page 2, which is exhibit C56. Violation number 26 states no HACCP plan. HACCP plan shall be provided as required. So it says correct by, under the correct by date, it says June 14, 2015. So the earlier date that was given from the last inspection was June 3rd, 2015. Now they're given another extension to June 14, 2015. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Let's go to exhibit C57. This is an inspection that was conducted in June 15, 2015, go to page 2, same violation, number 26. Now, it says under number 26, no HACCP plan provided, HACCP plan shall be provided as required. I couldn't tell whether it was June 20 or June 30, maybe you can tell me.
Looks like 30.
June 30th, okay, so that was a typo on my my summary, it's June 30th. So again, Basil got another two-week extension from June 14th to June 30th, 2015, to submit its HACCP plan, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's go to Exhibit C-60. July 1st letter. I think page two of the letter is your signature. Correct?
Yes.
In this letter, in paragraph one, you confirmed that public health received a draft of Basil's HACCP plan, correct?
That's correct.
And after you received the draft, what do you do with the draft?
Review it to see if it's in compliance with the requirements.
Right. So the certification, when it says a certified plan, a certified HACCP plan is a plan that's been prepared by a certified HACCP plan preparer, correct? A consultant.
That's correct.
And it would still, the next step, the final step is to get approval from public health, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so this is the process. This is the first draft that public health received from Basil.
That's correct.
And there are six bullet points, and these are the comments or discrepancies that were found in the HACCP plan. Are these substantive discrepancies, or are they minor, in your opinion?
No, they're all important. This is the time when they use the consultant or certifier, I think, in California. Who obviously never came to Guam. Found that the plan was deficient.
Okay. And so these are public health's comments. And let's go to page two of the letter. I'm sorry, page one of the letter, last paragraph. Page one, which is Exhibit C.
Can I just ask one quick question? So the Crawford plan, as I call it, one prepared by Kathy Crawford from California, and the one that's a plan that Department of Public Health and Social Service found deficient.
That's correct.
Who specifically at the Department of Public Health and Social Services found that plan to be deficient?
I would think it would be Kathy Delmondo.
Kathy Delmondo. Do you know why she found the plan to be deficient?
I'm sure she can tell me.
All right. So off the top of your head, you don't know that.
It's not lying in the letter, though.
It's, well, you know, it says, you know, things are very general. They don't speak to, you know, exactly how they do things. And like I said, this was a long-distance consultation, so the lady was never here. And I think after this is when we said you might want to talk to the fellow at GCC.
Very neat.
That's when they retained his services.
Right, thank you.
Okay, so I'm still on Exhibit C, page 60, last paragraph. The public health gave Basil until July 8th another extension to submit a certified HACCP plan that can be approved with the revisions requested, correct? Okay. And on July, let's go to Exhibit 62. The off-island entity that I think you were referring to earlier, was it called HACCP Consulting Group LLC? Is this
it's on the letter.
On this letter?
That's who they are.
Right. And the individual is Kathy Ann Crawford. And I think you just testified that she prepared a plan without even visiting the site.
That's correct.
Is that possible?
It can be.
Okay.
It's not the best way to do it.
Okay. And I think attached is the revised plan that she submitted, or that was prepared by HACCP Consulting Group pursuant to your July 1st, 2015 letter, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to 145, C-145. This is an inspection report dated July 9, 2015, and direct you to page 2 of the report. Violation number 26 states no acceptable HACCP plan provided. HACCP plan must be provided according to GFC section 8-201, subsection 14. So as of July 9, 2015, there was no acceptable HACCP plan.
Objection. We've already gone through this with Mr. Talk.
Yeah, I'd have to say that we've gone quite extensively through some of these. Are there any that don't overlap with this?
No, I'm just trying to establish one of the allegations, I think, and complaints is that somehow Basil was unfairly treated. While there has been some testimony about some extensions given, I think it's important to show exactly how much accommodation was given to Basil.
We don't need to walk through the same ground.
Okay, so I'm gonna tie it up.
Okay.
Okay, if you give me a moment. Okay, so I'm just gonna go to the exhibit 156. C-156. Please take a moment to review. And this is called a notice of violation with intent to revoke. Can you tell, let me know when you're ready. Hi. Public Health initiated this notice of violation with intent to revoke the sanitary permit of Basil, correct?
That's correct.
And actually I should direct you to the page before 155 that gives you a date. This was provided to Basil on, you signed the letter. It was provided to Lee Kwan, which is now Basil, on July 20, 2015. Correct?
That's correct.
What prompted Public Health to initiate this violation revocation process?
Well, I think when you look at the accusation, the chronology of all the events, and contrary to what some people believe in due process, you gave them the notice to revoke the permit.
Okay, and this is...
And there is the, one of a better word, chronology in here of all of the things that went through from 2014 to the date of this notice.
Okay. And I think going to exhibits 168, July 30th, Public Health rescinded the notice of intent to revoke the sanitary permit, correct?
That's correct.
And was that because they finally, Basil finally submitted an approved, certified HACCP plan?
That's
So between March 11, 2015 to July 30, 2015, it's roughly 4.5 months, a little over 4.5 months. It took over 130 days for them to come into compliance.
Roughly.
Do you recall? Is in your opinion, did public health accommodate Basil in getting its HACCP plan?
I would say yes.
Did public health accommodate, give this much accommodation, this many extensions to any other company? Let me finish my question.
Sorry.
Any other company that was required to get a HACCP plan in place for the food service that it was providing?
Not to this extent. And you will notice that the first consultant they used did have a HACCP plan.
Right.
It's one thing to have it, it's another to follow it.
When you say follow, can you explain what
that
means?
You have to comply with the items that are in the plan. You have to demonstrate that you just take one or two of these things. Employees wear clean and proper uniforms. Food stored and prepared in facilities from approved source, equipment, utensils, cleaning and sanitizing, food storage and dry, it's all here. All you have to do is comply with it.
Okay.
But when you go in and look at the operation against any of the HACCP plans, which have all similar items, it's the operation that's important. The fact that you have an approved plan is of course important. But if you're not following it, you might as well not have them.
It's just a piece of paper then?
Yes.
Okay.
Several pieces of paper.
And I think you earlier testified there were violations after July 2015.
Yes, ma'am.
For failure to follow its own hazard.
Yes, ma'am.
You're familiar with SH Enterprises?
Yes.
And they're your, they've prepared.
Well, before we go into another exhibit, Ms. Dan, are you going to move for the entry of this exhibit into the record?
I mean, I want to give Ms. Ariarte an opportunity to review, and to the extent she wants to comment or make changes, because I'm really focusing on
this becomes an issue that's not resolved, are you going to move for the entry of Exhibit G?
Yes, subject to any concerns she may have or comments. Happy to accommodate them.
Ms. Ariarte?
Just the same that it's not fitting the title, which is chronology inspection.
Okay, that's already been taken care of. We've stricken the title, so.
Those are my objections.
All right, and I think I've already taken care of that. We're just going to title Exhibit G as a summary of Exhibit C and nothing more.
Thank you.
And I will enter Exhibit G into the record as a summary of Exhibit C.
Of Exhibit C.
That's correct.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, please proceed.
All right, thank you. As I was saying, Mr. Dillon, you're familiar with the SH Enterprises?
Yes.
Prior to Lupin, now Basil, taking over the, END or ENG company? EMP. EMP. Elderly.
Nutrition.
EMP contract. SH Enterprises had the contract.
Correct.
And they've had it for at least a long long time. So they know how it works. And are you aware of any other caterers or vendors who are familiar with Anguan and familiar with the EMP program?
There was at one time SK Enterprises, which was Tom Cornell's company. I think that's as far back as I can see.
But I think the company, is it still in business?
I don't think so.
Right.
Not as a caterer.
Not as a caterer. So when SH Enterprises is currently being caterer, providing meals for this ENT program, at least starting in June 1st, 2016, but this was awarded the emergency contract.
Yes.
And did, do you recall if did public health gave, I'm sorry, strike that, prior to SH Enterprises being awarded the emergency contract in 2016, do you recall that they were also the caterer for a very short period, 2015, when Basil lost its, when Basil's sanitary permit was suspended in, I think it was July 2015, if you recall?
I want to think that, that didn't last very long. I thought that was a fairly quick turnaround.
I think it was 30 days or less. Does that sound right to you? Yeah, because I think after the suspension, basically, if they were put back on the project,
yes.
Put back on the contract, Basil, that was,
yes.
In 2015. So, from what you know about HACCP plans, how not all caterers are required to provide, as I mean, as you testified, not all caterers are required to get HACCP plans, correct?
That's correct.
Only if they're serving susceptible, highly susceptible populations.
Yes.
All right, and so how, what would be a reasonable time for a facility, once they have noticed they have to get a HACCP, to get one in place, approved, and submitted, and then approved?
I think what we look at is about 60 days.
Okay. That's the policy that the department has followed?
When we can. Again, because HACCP is a relatively new concept, I mean, it's not that new. You know, a lot of people who want to be in this business serving those types of populations, you know, there's some investment there because you need to have proper temperature equipment, you need to have certain items that are not generally in a caterer's operation. So it takes a little bit of time for them to even get some of those logistics taken care of. But as far as the plan itself, okay, it's almost a template. And so it's and if you've got people like Barry Mead or some other people, they can get you up and going on a plan. It's a matter of whether or not you have all your equipment in place. And once you've done that and you've consistently followed the plan, you shouldn't have any problems.
So in order to get through the hurdle from certification, get the plan submitted, prepared by a certified HACCP preparer, submitted, reviewed, approved in 60 days.
It shouldn't take too very long.
But you and sometimes equipment you may have to procure off island.
Right. And we would give some latitude.
Right. And then and also, is there any training involved?
Yes.
Of employees.
Yes.
Okay. So the employees have to be trained in how to implement the HACCP plan in their daily work. And the preparation of food preparation.
Yeah. There is generally a manager who has to be on the premises at all time, who is certified to ensure that the HACCP plan is in operation. Outside of the fact that we do the health certificate training, so people know they have to wash their hands before they touch
mm-hmm.
those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So those go hand in hand. But as I said, because it's still in some sense relatively new, it was a big in contention when we were doing the food safety code with a lot of people. So there was a lot of kind of pushback, and we had a lot of education and convincing people that this was important. And there are any number of people out there willing to provide these services. Okay, but right now, we have what we have.
Okay. And so with respect to SH Enterprises, I have in front of you, mark this as Exhibit H. This is a letter that was delivered to the received by Public Health on July 27, 2016, from Mr. Mead, confirming that SH Enterprises submitted and submitted its HACCP plan.
Ms. Chang, is this letter part of the record?
Not in exhibit order, but it was raised in the, it's not part of the procurement record because it's not about SH Enterprises, but there's allegations about.
For identification purposes, HOSA, so.
No, I can handle that another way.
This particular document, do we call this exhibit H?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so.
So if I could just register any objection, the objection is that this document, which is dated July 27th, is untimely since it was not submitted as part of the exhibits.
In response to the objection?
You know, I think that the response, I agree, it was untimely, but it was, it's responsive to the allegations that Basil's made about SH and it not being compliant. And I'm happy to question Mr. Gillum, ask him if this helps recollect, helped him recollect the date which SH got into compliance with the HACCP. I mean, we don't have to enter into evidence. If this helps refresh his recollection, then we'll go that down that road.
I'm going to admit Exhibit H into the record, and the objection is overruled. Please proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Gillum, so recall that SH Enterprises began serving food on the NP program on an emergency basis on June 1st, 2016?
Yes.
Correct? And it had 60 days within which to get into compliance with its HACCP plan?
Yes.
And did it get into compliance?
Yes.
Within the 60-day period.
Yes.
And within, and it, in fact, it completed on, it submitted on July 27, 2016, correct?
That's correct.
All right. No further questions.
As a follow-up of that question, who reviewed the plan at Public Health and said that the plan was in compliance? Mm-hmm. And how long did it take to do this? Because this 27th because I was contacted when I was in Pompeii on this whole issue. And yeah, the 27th was a Wednesday. And how long did it take for Public Health to review the plan that was submitted by SH? And who at Public Health said it was good to go, it was in compliance?
I think you need to, Kathleen can answer that also.
Kathleen Dolomondo?
You have no idea who did it?
I am going to assume it's her because she has been the inspector to review HACCP.
So they would not normally inform you that the plan was approved or was in compliance?
No. But again, I think what we need to, again, put in perspective is that even if it took 65 days, okay, when you look at this record, we have more than 65 days trying to get Basil in conformance. So I think a few days over the 60-day period is not.
That's not my question. My question was who at Public Health approved the plan to say that it was in compliance with your regulations?
It would be Kathy.
I have no further questions.
Is there any redirect?
Yes.
Do we need to go on a short break?
No.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay, so just to follow up on the OPA's line of inquiry, at the time you prepared and submitted your declaration, or I'm sorry, your memorandum for approval of substantial government interests, continuing food services for seniors, so that's dated July 20th. This was not submitted to you, obviously, because this was submitted after you did your memorandum, right? And even when it was submitted, it was not brought to your attention that SH did not have a HACCP plan until after the 27th of July.
Objection, no. Restate the testimony.
I'm going to overrule the objection. Please answer the question.
No, we were aware that they did not have one at the time.
Right, but this was not brought to your attention. Is that what your testimony was? That Exhibit H had not been brought to your attention?
I do not recall seeing it.
Now, you just testified also that You're not aware of any other vendors who are given extensions of HACCP?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. You weren't aware of other vendors who were given more time?
I think several. I think GMH, obviously St. Dominic's.
Okay, so I believe we just went over that the final HACCP plan that was approved by Basil, that was around July 24th or 27th, is that correct? 2015? July 27th. Right. 2015, okay. If you could turn to the exhibit number, exhibit 11. And I just want to, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I just want to look over when some other HACCP plans have been submitted to public health. So the documents in exhibit 11 were actually provided to me in response to a FOIA request. So if we start on the first one, are you with me on exhibit 11?
Starting by Santa Barbara?
That's right, Santa Barbara. So you see the bottom, that's August 10th, 2015. Mm-hmm. The next page, August 11, 2015, was when Santa Barbara submitted their HACCP plan, correct?
Yes.
And they hadn't been closed before that date?
No, school didn't start.
That's okay. The next one, Nyon Express Restaurant for St. Paul and Ilearn, that's February 9th, 2016. So that's the next two pages. So those institutions were not closed down for not having a HACCP plan roughly, what, 6 or 7 months after Basil had been shut down?
Objection at the foundation, there is no evidence that notice was given to Nyon 6 months before it submitted this February 2015 letter, 2016 letter.
I'm going to sustain the objection. I get your point, but there is really no foundation for the six-month time period that you were asking the witness about.
Okay. Well, then we can go back to that letter, which is Exhibit C. Page 30. Dated March 26, 2015, to elementary school cafeterias and food establishments serving the highly susceptible populations. Did you have your department send this letter to all the elementary schools?
Yes.
Okay. So that would include St. Paul School and Ilearn Academy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
as far as we know.
As far as you know. Okay. So it would have gone to Nyon Express, who had been servicing those schools, correct?
Objection, lack of foundation. We don't know when Nyon's contract commenced. Could have taken it over. We don't know who Nyon is. Or that it serves food at these schools.
Response
for speculation as well.
Well, it says here on the first page, HACCP-based standard operating procedures for Nyon Express, St. Paul School, and Ilearn Academy.
Okay, but
and he's
you have
testified.
An offer of proof concerning when we're going very far afield from the contracting issue here when we're talking about Nyon Express and these other institutions that are not the contract subject to the appeal or the emergency procurement.
Well, I think that it's important because we're getting into whether or not the Department of Public Health singled out Basil on these HACCP plan requirements. We're seeing GMH, which we know did not just start providing services. They were given, I think, until October. GRMC was given until November. So when he testifies that Basil was really the only one that was given so many extensions, that's not true. 4 months after Basil was closed, they're still giving extensions to other facilities that never had been suspended.
I have to object to that, too. I think she's, counsel is testifying, and as counsel of GRMC, I can tell you they weren't open that long in 2015. So
well, I'm going to
we're way out of the, in the forest here.
I'm going to allow overrule the objection, allow you to explore just a little further, but as a finder of fact, there's really, we understand the point of some of these, but you're really starting to stretch out of the box.
That's why, thank you. That's why I said I just wanted to go quickly, because I just wanted to show some of the dates of when these plans were submitted.
Okay, please proceed.
Okay, so if you move past the Nylon Express certification, the next one's DOE. That's August 2015, correct? Are you back on Exhibit 11, Mr. Gillen?
Yes, ma'am.
So DOE's is after you have closed down Basil, correct?
First time.
I'm sorry?
Just 2015.
Yes. So they submitted theirs after you had closed Basil, but not having one?
Objection relevance and cause of speculation. These testify school starts in August. Mr. Relevance.
I'm going to overrule the objection, because I've already accepted or offered proof. For this limited purpose, please proceed.
So the question is, was this submitted after you had closed down Basil for not having a passive plan?
I don't understand what.
Basil was temporary. There was an emergency procurement in July of 2015 that SNH took. So to refresh your memory.
I believe she's asking whether or not.
Did we treat other people differently?
No. Okay. You have to answer the question, Mr. Gillen. Could you please answer or ask it one more time?
Sure. Did DOE submit a plan after you closed Basil for not having a plan? Okay. The next one is GRMC. That one's dated December 3rd, 2015. It's actually GFS Group for GRMC. Did they submit their plan 6 months after you, I'm sorry, 5 months after you had closed down?
What page are you referring to?
Those are the next pages after the DOE. I'm just going to go in the order that the pages are.
I think we have to object to this one because I know for a fact GRMC was not open.
Okay, we're not a witness.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, this, her question's misleading. And it misleads as to when GRMC is open and when this was submitted. If it opened in November and it was submitted in December, it was within their 60 days. That's my point. So it's misleading. The question is misleading.
I have other evidence, I believe in my exhibit book, that shows GRMC had been open and consulted with about a HACCP plan since July 2015.
Okay, I think you can go through the plan. Okay, but when you're adding new time elements in there that there's really no foundation for, that's where we're going to start sustaining these objections, but for the meantime, we're going to overrule the objection. Okay,
let me just do maybe one more. If you go to the next one, Harvest Christian Academy, you see the next after GRMC,
mm-hmm.
You have the Harvest Plan. That one was submitted October 30th, 2015, so roughly 3 months after you closed down Basil for not having a plan, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I will move on from here. Now, you also testified that 60 days is a reasonable time to put together a HACCP plan. Did I hear that correctly?
Generally, yes.
Okay. But as we had discussed on that email from Mr. Nadeau, that's no longer public health's policy to allow 60 days, correct?
How do we know this?
Sure. We had reviewed an email from Mr. Nadeau saying that 60-day deadline, and I believe that was dated October 2015, was only for existing facilities, and that you are no longer allowing the 60-day grace period as a policy of public health. Do you recall that?
Could you cite the exhibit?
Yeah.
Perhaps you can, because we've gone through quite a lot of documents between this morning and now.
Sure. Exhibit 30. bottom, first page of Exhibit 30 at the bottom, it's an email from Mr. Nadeau, October 29, 2015. He's saying that the 60 days is to allow existing facilities to transition into the requirements of the food code, correct? And he says, we're already in the second year of implementing the Guam food, thus we cannot justify the continued allowance of the same 60-day or even 30-day period of transition. So would you agree with me that Mr. Nadeau is advising here that there's no longer a 60-day grace period?
I think generally that's correct. How long are you going to continue to baby some of these people that are in this business?
Now, you discussed, and you discussed with Ms. Tang, I guess the number of times you had asked Basil about the status of their plan. When Basil was suspended around July 9th, 2015, do you know how many days it actually knew that there was someone on island, Barry Mead, who could certify a plan?
Objection, call for speculation.
Okay, well, no really objection. The answer was, doesn't know anyone. Go ahead.
Okay. And you discussed that there were some problems with the off-island provider's plan, correct? You recognize that there could be issues with an off-island provider certifying a plan for a Guam vendor, correct?
Right.
Okay. So as of July 1st, 2015, did Department of Public Health tell Basil that there was anybody on island?
I'm not sure what the date is, but I think we did tell them that there were people available at GCC.
Okay. So would it surprise you to learn that it happened after July 1st, after your July 1st letter, that your department finally told Basil that someone was on island who could assist them?
Surprise me?
Yeah. Would it surprise you to know
that? Letting them know that there was somebody local who could assist them?
Yeah, it would surprise you after you had sent them numerous letters telling them that person had to be listed by the department, that you actually had not told Basil who was available or listed by the department.
Objection.
To certify their plan.
Miss State, the testimony, I do not think that witness testified, and then I don't want to misquote your question, but I think so, about that they told him there was a list and didn't.
I'm going to sustain the objection, but not on that ground. I think that question is a bit argumentative. Could you please rephrase the question?
Well, we went
I know you asked him if he was surprised, and then you went on, but could you just rephrase it? I'll let you ask him again. Could you rephrase it?
Do you remember telling Basil that the person they had to use to develop a plan had to be listed by the department?
I did not tell them anything. What I did say earlier this morning was that initially, we were concerned about recommending anybody because we felt that that's not really our job, and it really would make us look like we're touting certain people to provide these services. But when the conditions under which they were operating and the general shoddiness of their plan that they got from this off-island provider, we thought that maybe we'd get somebody local for them to help them out. So we gave them Barry and somebody else's name, and Barry was the only one that was available.
But you did tell them on March 26, Exhibit C, page 31 actually, the HACCP plan must be developed or certified a person who has obtained training and credentialing on retail HACCP from a program that has been evaluated and listed by the department.
Page 30?
Page 31.
Exhibit C.
Okay. So what list are you referencing here?
All I'm saying is we're not in a position to recommend anybody. Here's the list you choose.
Okay.
So if you chose somebody, that person wrote a less than adequate plan as far as we were concerned. So we said, okay, you know, there are some people here available for you. Why don't you talk to them?
But you don't know when that list was provided?
I do not.
Okay, so it could have been provided after July 1st, 2015.
Josh asked and answered. He said he does not know.
I'm going to sustain the objection. I do believe that was his testimony. Please proceed. And we're starting to cover some of the same ground twice.
Have you reviewed any of the SH inspection reports since they began providing services on June 1st? You have not? Do you know how many inspections?
Objection outside of scope of cross.
I'm going to allow it. Overruled. Please proceed.
I do not.
You don't know how many inspections they've had? Okay. You had, I believe in response to some of the inquiries by the public auditor, you had mentioned discussions between GSA and Public Health on the Basel contract, correct?
Discussions.
Yeah. Did you have any discussions with GSA on the Basel, on Basel's performance under the contract?
I did not. I did not.
Recross, Mr. Tom?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
The 60-day due date for the inspections for the schools, were they in operation at the time that due date hit? From the time that letter was sent out?
Did you specify which letter? I'm not too sure.
The letter that went out to schools and providers of services to...
That's the 2015 letter?
Yes, the 2015 letter.
It's possible.
Okay.
What is the date?
Okay. It would have been the one at the end of March.
So,
I'm sorry, what did you say?
The schools were in operation at that time.
Okay.
However, most of the schools were being serviced by Sodexo.
Okay.
Sodexo has a copyrighted asset plan. So the only ones that we had to deal with were some of the DOE-operated kitchens or cafeterias.
Okay.
So that was a smaller number. Now the private schools, another matter.
Okay. Are the DOE kitchens, are they operational during the summer months?
No.
Not that I know of, unless it's summer school.
Okay. They don't serve those.
Are you able to conduct an inspection of a facility when it's not in operation?
Doesn't make sense.
Does not having a HACCP plan automatically result in the suspension of the sanitary permit?
No.
I think we had pointed out earlier, is a 6 demerit score on the inspection report?
If you continue to repeat that violation, but, you know, they do have to have a HACCP plan.
Okay.
But, you know, if you just... start, like I say, if you're just starting, then develop one, show it to us.
Okay, so it's conceivable that the first time that an inspection is performed, if the institution does not have a HACCP plan, that's not grounds for closure, is it?
No.
Okay. That depends on the final demerit score?
That's correct.
You stated that some of the schools had outside vendors, is that correct?
Yes.
Have they all stuck with the same vendors throughout, or do they have them change food vendors?
That can vary. I mean, Santa Barbara has who they use. As I said, most of the DOE cafeterias are serviced by Sodexo, so they haven't.
school received a new food vendor, would it be given an additional 60-day opportunity to cure?
Okay.
That's all the questions.
Ms. Payne?
Exhibit, Mr. Dillon, please go to exhibit 30, please. Earlier, this is referring to page one of the email. Earlier, Ms. Hager.
Public health, you mean GSA?
Okay, so October exhibit 20, exhibit 30, sorry. And this is the October 29th email sent at 2:12 p.m. First paragraph, second sentence, 60 timing, day time for compliance is established internally to allow existing facilities such as Basel, school cafeterias, et cetera, to transition to departments of the new ground food code. You see that?
Yes.
And the word existing facility is underscored. Now, the existing facility, is it referring to existing facilities that are serving currently or have been serving food or catering to highly susceptible population?
Yes.
Okay. SH doesn't fall in that category, does it?
No.
Okay. No further questions.
But just for clarification, it does now.
And it did get the 60-day time and complied. So it wasn't before the emergency.
Yes. I have a question, and this is coming from my staff. Earlier you said, Robin, maybe I'll have Robin ask the question because it's her question. Just, this is again for a point of clarification.
So earlier this morning, you testified that public health informed GSA of the D rating and that that was not the first time that Basel had that rating, and therefore, as a result of that, GSA terminated that contract in May 2016. But then just more recently, you said that you did not have discussions with GSA on Basel's performance. So I guess for clarification, who informed GSA of the D rating? Like, who at public health informed?
Is this appropriate?
I was just curious.
She's part of my staff.
Oh, okay. She's asking on behalf of the OPA.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I guess to repeat the question, who at public health then, I guess, communicated with GSA in May 2016 as far as the D rating?
The administrator of the Division of Senior Citizens.
Okay. That was just a point of clarification, that's all.
Okay. I'm sorry, Thank you.
I just have one quick question, Mr. Gillen. For these susceptible populations, I know that elementary school students would be one group, seniors, of course, would be another. And for this elderly nutrition program, which provides meals to these over 1,900 seniors or so, in your opinion, do you think that the seniors are probably the most vulnerable of these populations?
Some of them.
Some of them. I mean, if you had to choose, which is the most vulnerable, which would you choose? Based on your knowledge.
Seniors.
The seniors? And
very young children.
So both extreme ends of this age spectrum, the youngest and then, of course, the oldest. Okay, so, and with the seniors, if there were to be no providers for this contract, what effect would that have on their nutrition?
There are people who are living by themselves or with an elderly partner who have significant difficulties with activities of daily living. They have comorbidities, they have diabetes, they have heart disease, they are very vulnerable. And if this program stopped, for some, that is all they get all day. One-third of the minimum requirement for an adult.
And for this program, would the recipients have to qualify for it?
Yes.
Yeah, meaning to say they would have to show need.
Case management at Catholic Social Services does the evaluations. Generally, there is a requirement for a physician statement that either one or the other, most times it's both, have some problem with either mobility or to, you know, or have some illnesses that make them susceptible.
And would it be very fair to say that for many of the people engaging in the elderly nutrition program, without this food, there really isn't anything else?
There's nothing, sir.
Okay, thank you.
As a follow-up, meals, correct me, are meals only served Monday through Friday?
7 days a week for homebound.
7 days a week for homebound, yes. Including holidays?
No, except for holidays.
Except for holidays.
Yeah, which is really sad. I think we need to work on that. But that's, you know, that's...
And the 7 day a week is only for homebound?
Yes.
And so whoever has this particular contract is aware that they have to serve 7 days a week. And, you know, that's what you called... I think in the program you said, that's the requirement of homebound delivered meals.
And it gets a little complex because certain of the elderly have to have their food processed a certain way. Some can't chew, some can't swallow very well. So it is a very, you know, sometimes it's, you've got to separate out meals because you're not just serving. Like if you're in the army and you're just going down the line, you eat whatever's there. They have to really be concerned about what's going out into whom. So it's not a simple process.
And earlier you stated there was a short time when Basil May was suspended, that dry meals?
Dry meals, yes.
Okay. What does dry meals consist of?
Dog, no. It's generally canned food. It could be tuna.
So in those cases where, if it were on a weekend, would the homebound also get, would everybody get dry meals?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Regardless. Right. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any follow-up questions from any of the parties? Other questions that we have? All right, Mr. Gillen, you are going to be excused as a witness. I'm going to ask that you not discuss this. Your testimony today with any of the parties till these proceedings have concluded. Further, I'm going to have to tell you that you're also subject to recall so long as these proceedings proceed. Do you understand that?
I do, as long as you can give me some notice.
We will try
our best. Like you, you know, have to sometimes be other places.
Yeah, we will try our best. Thank you for coming today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Excuse as a witness.
Is she available?
Can I just ask one? Okay, does it look like this is going to go beyond the end of this month?
No.
Okay, it will be concluded by next week.
But it's a
quandary again. Yeah.
But just so you know, there is a process. So what we would have to do is when these proceedings are over, we would have to draft a decision. Of course, we are aware of the importance of this contract. Right. And we'll try to get a decision out as quickly as possible. Okay?
Earlier, we had said that we were going to continue tomorrow from 9 to 1. I have asked Anthony to not do that because I'm really not available. And you had indicated, Ms. Ariarte, that you were not available on Wednesday. So if we do not, obviously we're not going to conclude today, so the next starting date.
Yeah, so we would have to
start on Monday.
On Monday, is that the 22nd?
That's the 22nd.
Yeah.
At 9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock. So we would have to basically, you can leave, Mr.
Gillen.
No, I'm sorry. I'm an operations guy.
No, you have to leave the stand.
I have to leave the stand.
Yes, you can sit over there.
You can sit over there.
You're now. You
might be messing up the record by making statements there. Okay, so.
I want to know what happens if you guys don't decide something by the end of this month. We have people to feed on the first.
I understand that, Mr. Gillen. Okay. but this is a process.
Thank you, sir.
The process is set by law, and we have to follow that, okay? But we try to balance that with the time needs of the end users. Okay, so do all parties understand that we're not going to proceed tomorrow? We're going to have to inform your witnesses. We will start again next week, Monday, the 22nd. So we're going to go to 4:30.
In the light of the 15 minutes remaining, do you want to start your next witness?
I don't mind. I could start with
this. How long would, yeah, that's fine. So
it will extend beyond the 15 minutes.
Well, that's fine. We can stop. At least we can get started.
Okay.
Is that going to be another 5 minutes?
I already sent it to Sandra.
Okay, she's not here yet. So who's your next witness?
Catherine Del Mundo.
All right, we're going to call her. We're going to take a brief 5-minute recess before she takes the stand. We are off the record at 4:14.
Okay. We're back on the record. It's 4:14 p.m.
Okay, we just have a couple housekeeping matters. So first, Mr. Toft, Miss Anita Cruz, you know, she'll be available next week Monday? Because there was that one issue.
I will ask her to attend.
All right, thank you. Because I'm going to hold you to your promise to Ms. ERT that you're going to voluntarily make her available, okay?
Yes.
Now, the other thing I have to disclose to the parties before we start with this witness is a member of the OPA staff, Rodeline Gerardo, happens to be a good friend of this witness, Catherine Del Mundo. Rodeline is just more or less a facilitator. She assists with the equipment. I know she asked a question, but just a point of clarification. She's not a trier of fact. It's akin to, I guess, in court where the judge discloses that a bailiff or the court reporter happens to have some relationship with a witness. The parties have any objections to Rodeline Gerardo basically staying here for this testimony, or continuing to facilitate this proceeding.
Does she provide any analysis to the public auditor?
Yes, she does.
She does? Okay. Then I think I do have an objection to her participation.
As to this
witness, yes.
But not to the proceedings overall?
Not to the proceedings.
Okay, thank you. I got there.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
We will, any other objections from the record?
No.
Okay. So we are going to basically recuse Ms. Gerardo from this proceeding for the duration of Ms. Belmondo's testimony. Likewise, to the extent she does provide analysis, she will not do so concerning any of the testimony or evidence regarding this Belmondo. Does that satisfy your objection?
Yes, thank you.
Very well. So I ask that Ms. Del Mundo, if you can stand, and I ask the witness to swear.
Please raise your right hand. Please state your name.
Catherine Del Mundo.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please be seated.
Ms. Uriarte, your witness.
Thank you. Right, we're going till 4:30, is that correct?
Yes.
4:30.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Ms. Del Mundo. Could you tell us what your position is, please?
I am an Environmental Public Health Officer 3 for the Division of Environmental Health.
And what do you do?
I am the Food Safety Program Officer for the Division.
What role do you have with respect to the services that are provided to the elderly under the ENP program?
I conduct sanitation inspections and assist them if they have any questions.
Assisting the vendor?
Yes, for clarification of the regulation.
Did you conduct the inspection of Basil on May 31, 2016?
Yes.
Okay. In front of you is a stack of papers like this, which is the joint exhibit book. If you could turn to Exhibit C, and on the bottom, it's 241 is the page number.
I apologize, Ms. Ariyaki. What exhibit number again?
It's Exhibit C of the joint exhibits at page 241.
Okay, thank you.
Where's the page number?
They're on the bottom right corner.
Look for, it's about more towards the end.
Okay.
Look for where it says Exhibit C and there's numbers, okay. Numbering. So look for 241.
241.
Your inspection report on the 31-2016?
Yes.
All right, so if you could turn to 242. So I've noticed in the observations and corrective actions, for example, number 6, do you see that in the middle of the page?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
Please answer yes or no.
I'm sorry, yes.
Thank you. So for example, number 6, employee washing hands in ware washing sink. At the end of that, in the next column, it's correct by date. So could you tell me what those correct by dates are?
So depending on the type of violation, so this would fall under a critical violation. There's a correct by date that is required that the violation be corrected according to the Guangfu Code.
Okay. So for each violation, I see here that the vendor was given an opportunity to correct by a certain date.
Yes.
Okay. And that would be for each of the observations and corrective actions, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now I've noticed some of them, if you look at page 244, you have that item 33, you have a correct by date of June 30th, 2016.
Yes.
Yes, okay. So some of them are by June 10, some of them are by June 30. And somewhere COS, what is COS?
COS means it's corrected on the spot, okay. So it doesn't count against the establishment.
All right. Are you aware if anyone informed GSA that there were correct by dates that were assigned to certain violations?
No.
Okay. I want to ask you about some of the SH examinations that you did. If you could look at
the binder.
Yes, the binder, exhibit 14.
This one.
Yes. You conducted this inspection in July 14, 2015 of SH?
Yes.
Were you aware at the time you did the inspection that SH was providing the EMP services under an emergency procurement?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ms. Irarchi, what page again? What exhibit?
Exhibit 14 in the basal binder.
I have Ms. Tang here, my 14.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong binder. My apologies. My apologies. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you. All right, so you were aware that SH was the vendor of the EMP services at this time, July 2015?
Yes.
Now you note here, actually you don't give, on the first page, you don't give a grade or a rating, although it's on the corner 41 or 42D, is that correct?
Yes.
And that would that reflect what the grade or rating would be if this was, I don't know what you call it, an actual inspection? Or
yes.
What would you call, what do you call kind of inspection is this where there's no grade or rating?
So this is considered an assessment?
Assessment, okay. Mm-hmm. And so what is a real inspection called, or list of correct terminology?
It would fall under regular.
Regular inspection. Okay, so if this was a regular inspection, they would have received a D rating?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Do you know if anyone reported this report to GSA?
I'm not sure.
Okay. It's also noted on page 4-4 at the bottom that you provided a HACCP letter. What is a HACCP letter?
So I have
what page wrong? Sorry.
The last page of Exhibit 14.
Thank you.
So a HACCP letter is a letter we provided to basically establishments that serve to a highly susceptible population and elementary school students, stating the Guam FUCO requirement that they are required to have a HACCP plan.
Now let's turn to Exhibit 17. This is an inspection that you conducted on June 3rd, 2016, correct?
Yes.
Now, if you look at the second page of this inspection, it talks about a complaint that was received. Do you recall what that complaint was?
It was a complaint regarding employees working without a valid health certificate and meals being delivered at the back of pickup trucks with trash.
Did you yourself see any photos along with the complaint about meals being delivered with trash?
None was ever provided to me.
Okay, so what exactly did you review in terms of this complaint? Did you review a complaint that was submitted, the one that's referenced here?
Yes.
Okay, what did you review?
What do you mean by what?
What was the where did the complaint come from, and what did it include?
Well, we don't usually disclose the source of the complaint. Am I supposed to?
You cannot. Don't disclose if you can't disclose names. Just generally, what was the complaint about?
So someone called a day before, stating that they knew that SH had employees without a valid health certificate, and they were delivering meals at the back of their pickup trucks with trash.
All right. Did you ever review any photos of those complaints? Photos of those issues?
No. The complainant mentioned that they had photos, but none was ever provided to me, even after I followed up.
You followed up with the person who made the complaint?
Mm-hmm.
You did not follow up with SNH to verify that their employees did have health certificates?
Mm-hmm. So I conducted the investigation, but the pictures that she was referencing to, that was mentioned to me by the complainant.
Thank you.
Sorry for the interruption. No problem. So again at this time, on June 3rd, 2016, did you observe them having a HACCP plan on that date?
No. We provided them another letter requiring them to have a HACCP plan. And so in the letter, it actually indicates that they have 60 days to comply. And so they just submitted their HACCP plan recently before their due date.
Were you aware of a policy from Mr. Nadeau as to the 60-day grace period, whether that was still possible to give?
I don't understand the question.
Okay. Who drafted that letter that gave the 60 days?
I did.
You did?
Yep. Okay.
And did you consult with Mr. Nadeau on whether or not you were still permitted to give a 60-day grace period?
Judge, how big is the time? What period?
When you drafted the letter.
Okay, and could you sustain the objection? Could you give her a time period?
Sure.
Okay, please proceed.
Now you just testified that you delivered a letter regarding the HACCP requirement. So in drafting that letter, did you discuss with Mr. Nadeau whether or not there was still a 60-day grace period that was allowed?
For this letter that was delivered?
Yes.
Yes.
You just Okay, and so is there a policy, a written policy from public health on the 60-day grace period?
No, it was only based on the letter that was drafted. So the letter does mention that they have 60 days within receipt of the letter to comply. And that's pretty much what we've been doing for the other establishments that requires a HACCP plan.
So is it the same, I can show you the letter, is it this, if you go to Exhibit C on this deck?
Which page?
Page 30.
Again, toward the back.
Exhibit C, page 30.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, this is the letter that was provided.
Okay.
Miss Ariarte, it's now 4:30.
Okay, all right, thank you.
All right, so we are going to... So Ms. Del Mundo, what's going to happen is we're going to basically end these proceedings for today. Of course, we're not done with your testimony. So we're going to reconvene on Monday, August the 22nd, next week, Monday at 9 a.m., and you will be the first witness.
Okay.
All right, and we'll pick up where we left off. I'm going to have to order you not to discuss your testimony with any of the parties until these proceedings are over. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Very well. Thank you. So you're excused now as a witness. We'll see you on Monday, August the 22nd.
Do I have a question?
Before we, you can get excused. So before we go off the record, are there any other issues we need to take up at this time? We've already discussed Ms. Anita Cruz.
So my question is on scheduling.
Yes.
If we finish on the 22nd, but if we do not, will we be going to the next day, the 23rd?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Because I have a translator for Mr. Zhou, and I just need to kind of figure out
yes,
where
at
that
this time, that's the plan.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right.
We have to finish no later than Wednesday. We have to.
Okay.
I hope. Yes, because I'm leaving Thursday morning.
Okay.
So I hope we will conclude no later than Tuesday.
Okay.
As a matter of procedure, Ms. Del Mundo is also one of my witnesses. After she has concluded her testimony, am I limited just to cross and then?
Well, I'll give you a great leeway. The idea, just like in Superior Court in a criminal case, if you can get all your witnesses out during the government's case in chief, that's it. You know, so we try to move as quickly as possible.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right. So. See you all on Monday, August 22nd, and we're off the record at 4:45. Thank you.